if you don't mind, man, I feel good. I feel the Lord moving in here and touching you, watching online. We're honored to have you. You know, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. And, you know, really, no matter what you're facing today, and it may be severe or not, it doesn't matter. With God, all things are possible. I believe that. How about you today? Let's give him one more hand clap. He's so good. He will come through. We'll give your neighbor a high five and tell him you look good. You look great. They'll smile at you. Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you again for watching us online. We love our online campus. We have people watching in our city, around our state, around our nation, and various countries of the world. We're honored to have you today. We're honored to have you here. We're having a great summer. And just reaching out for more today. At the end of the worship experience, we have cookies for you. Come on, somebody. You know, Jesus made cookies. Amen. I don't know if he did or not. I just said that. I made that up. Anyway, we're in our fourth week of our series, Keep It 100. Now, this is a new phrase. And I try to keep hip, so I got semi-skinny jeans on today. I told my sons, you know, where's the newest songs? What's going on? So yesterday, we did a basketball workout. And on the way there, they were playing me this song, I'm going to ride my horse to the Old Town Road. Ride till I can't no more. Like, what's going on here? So I try to stay up to date with stuff. And then David's downstairs dancing to this song, God's Plan or something like that, by Drake. I don't know if it's good or not, but I just... God's plan. I pray God's plan. And so this is an emoji. Keep it 100 is an emoji that people use, but it's a saying to mean keep it real. Now I believe from the scripture that Jesus kept it real in that he always went for the heart. He never settled for the surface. Jesus was always going for something more. He was going for something deep. And he used various topics to really get reactions out of people to maybe reveal something that was there, so that he could get their heart. I believe the objective of God has always been to capture our heart. Because when God has our heart, I believe anything can happen. Or I should say, he can do anything through us. And the battle is over that. Now, in this series, this month, we do this once a year. Because for us at City, this is a part of who we are in our faith. And so we're tackling the topic of God, money, and church. Now, did you know that in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have 38 distinct stories that Jesus used. The Bible calls them parables. And he used stories to articulate these simple truths with profound power. And did you know that 16 of the 38 stories are about money? Did you know that? That means that Jesus preached 42% of the time about money. If I would do that, that means I would preach on money 22 weekends out of the year. I could do that and that'd be biblical, but I'm not going to do it. Why was Jesus doing that? Why did he do that? He was reaching for something more. He also said in Matthew 6, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So I want to encourage you today. I want to lift you up. I want to build you up today. And possibly the Holy Spirit would dig deeper in us today with a message entitled Generous Grace. How many are glad for the generous grace of God today? I'm glad for the grace of God. So Father, I thank you for this great worship experience. I thank you for those watching online today. I thank you for keeping us safe in this room and as we leave. And I pray that everyone in this room and online, that all of us would lay down distractions. We would lay down any resistance. We would receive from you today, everyone, me, all of us, would receive today something that you have for us. Holy Spirit, move in this room and move through the cameras of the people watching at home. And may your name have fame. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to read verse 8, 9, and 10. Great verses, Paul talking to the church of Corinth. I want to break these down today. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. And God will generously provide all you need. You will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide an increase and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Now, if you're taking notes today, you can turn your worship guide over. We've set that up for you. For your notes, a quick definition of grace is simply this. God gives you and I what we don't deserve. He gives you and I what we don't deserve. That's very simple. At City Church, we believe this clearly. We don't earn salvation. We don't do enough good things to go to heaven. This is a free gift. Paul, he called it the undescribable gift. It's by faith through grace. And you and I receive it, and we don't deserve it. And the grace of God is so profound. Think about this. Out of all the topics of God, out of all the nuggets of who he is and what heaven will reveal to us and what he will reveal to us, the Bible says that you and I will learn about, and maybe more, but the Bible's clear about one topic in Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible said that the grace of God is so profound that in the ages to come, we're going to learn about the grace of God. That's because we get to heaven, we're going to look at our neighbor and say, how did you get here? And they'll look back at us and say, how did you get here? And then we'll look to God and say, amazing grace. Come on, give God praise. It's amazing grace. So grace, generous grace. And my first thought is, if you've heard the song, you know the title is one of the greatest hymns, probably the most famous hymn of all time. It's entitled Amazing Grace. John Newton was a slave trader. Took several trips to the Ivory Coast region of the continent of Africa. It was involved with taking people against their will on a ship across the Atlantic back to the Americas, where they'd be forced to be a slave for the rest of their life. In his book, he said that on one of the trips, he was convicted of his sin. And while they were on their way back with slaves literally under him in the bowels of the ship, he said that he got on his knees and he didn't have a lot of sessions to write this out. As he documented, it was basically one time through. He repented of his lifestyle, of his sin, and he wrote the famous chorus, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know, if you can sing that today, that means you've been captured by the grace of God. If you can't say that today, here in a few moments, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to Jesus, and this is your day to receive Christ. That's the greatest thing we could ever do. Recently, I watched a little history of Amazing Grace, the song, by a great singer and operatic singer and great Christian man. He said an insight that, I mean, during that era of time, hundreds of years, we have a lot of spirituals that were written and sung by slaves, profound words, profound worship. When you think about people worshiping God in inhumane environments and provisions, it was atrocious, folks. And yet, you know, the spirituals and some of those songs, just if you listen to the words, at times I've cried listening to it because I think about the people worshiping in the middle of just horrible circumstance. He said that many believe that John Newton, as he wrote the words to the song, actually put it to a melody or they were in the ship, and as history would tell it, many times they would sing or they would just hum. And he was saying that many believe that he wrote the words to a melody he was hearing in the slave ship as they were just humming this melody, and that he wrote it to that melody. It's amazing that in that great hymn, we see two worlds collide that needed the grace of God so bad. When you sing Amazing Grace, remember it was a man that was convicted of sin and was changed around forever. When you sing Amazing Grace, remember that it was, as many believe, the melody of it originated out of the heart of hardship. And even on the ship, we're humming something, reaching for something more. When the amazing grace of God touches your life, it changes everything. And today, this amazing grace captures you and me. Now, what's profound about this is that he says here in verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. The amazing grace of God covers the totality of our life. He covers everything. In other words, when you and I receive the grace of God, maybe we're going in the wrong direction. Maybe we're doing something wrong. It's unhealthy. It's unsafe. Whatever it is. The grace of God doesn't help me stay there. The grace of God actually empowers me to turn around and go a different direction because he's giving me what I don't deserve. The grace of God actually has the power to free me and to loose me from all my guilt and all my shame. The grace of God sets me free from wrong behavior and actions. The grace of God opens up acceptance and redemption. The grace of God, in three ways, simply put, the grace of God gives you and I what we don't deserve, this amazing grace, in that I have a spiritual, he helps me spiritually, and because of the grace of God, I have peace with God. Then the grace of God covers me, and then he touches me relationally, meaning I can have peace with others. Yeah, that's a miracle. And the grace of God, in this context, check this out, also touches the natural part of our life, and God generously provides all that we need. It's from the grace of God that everything flows. God is love, and because he loves you and I, he gives us something we don't deserve. Therefore, you and I can have peace with God. Now, every church is different or has different things set up. So real quick, here at City, to help you grow in your peace with God, I want to encourage you to go to Build in July. We want to help you find out the gifts God has given to you, and we would love to get to know you and help you take your next step spiritually. Relationally, we have peace with others and that you and I can grow in relationships. Now, groups is not the only way that you can do this, but it is a great way. And I want to encourage you, as we've just ended our summer session of groups, to think about joining the fall session of groups in August and practicing that relational peace. And the natural part of it, God provides all of our need. He provides, as we see here, so that you and I have plenty left over in verse 8 that we can share with others. So spiritually, I have peace with God. Relationally, I have peace with others. Naturally, I can overcome the money hurdle in my life because he's generously provided for me. You see, if you think about the grace of God, this is, again, God giving to you and I what we don't deserve. What he wants you and I to do is to receive the amazing grace of God. And then, just like he's given us grace that we don't deserve, this is huge now, he wants us to, in turn, look at someone else and give to them based or give to them beyond what they deserve. But in truth, you and I, a lot of times, are tempted to withhold love, to withhold kindness, to withhold forgiveness, to withhold goodness, to withhold tithes and offerings based on distrust. They don't deserve it. They didn't do X, Y, and Z. But if God did that to you and me, we wouldn't be here today. The grace of God is given to you and I beyond what we deserve. So at some point, this amazing grace is to come and grip us. Then we turn around and then we are to give. Not based on what someone deserves, but we look beyond what they deserve when I think about what he's given me and what I didn't deserve. This is a huge step for you and I. When you and I do this, this alters how we see people. This alters how we see God, money, and church. It alters how we see our life. In fact, in the Message Bible, there's a verse, and it says this way, he that is generous, his world gets bigger and bigger. God wants you and I to move into his presence and to not just be wrapped up about money, be bogged down about money, be all worked up about money, because really it's an outflow of an open heart when I think about all that God has done. See, I'm looking at it from another lens. I'm not looking at it, well, I distrust churches and there's a lot of schemes. There's a lot of abuse. There's wrong teaching. I know that. I get that. But what does the Bible say? And when you and I open up our heart and understand that Jesus talked about money 42% of the time when he was on the earth, because really he didn't need their dollar. He wanted their heart. And yet, when we give God our tithes and offerings, somehow he blesses us in ways. Here, he provides generously all that we need. But he's asking you and I, just as we have received, and we're not God, we're not going to be perfect in this, but he's asking us at least to try, that we've received grace, then we live a life not keeping score against people, but realizing, man, if God kept score against me, I'd be overwhelmed. But he cleaned the slate and gave me a chance. And we live that way with other people. Notice he says God will generously provide all that we need. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't work, because the Bible says that he that works hard will profit. There's something to say, to be said, and I preached on this month about living in our means and having a financial plan, giving God tithes and offerings. Summer and I work our Dave Ramsey plan. We're doing all that. So there's parts that we play. We do our part. God does his part. And you and I walk this out step by step in faith. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So in fact, yesterday, during the basketball workout with my boys, one of my sons, I don't want to embarrass him, Zayden, he said, and he's becoming good, but he was kind of loafing. And we were doing, crossover dribble, two dribbles between the legs, and then we have a jump shot. And so he was kind of loafing around. I said, man, what's wrong with you, son? He said, I'm sweating too much. I said, time out, boy, time out. We're not doing this. I said, what did you say? He said, I'm sweating too much. I said, you're going to run around this court 3 times, and you're going to sweat a lot. Oh, that's mean. No, what would be mean is, okay, go ahead and sit down and play some video games. Get up, run around this court, sweat a little bit, learn to cross it over, break someone's ankles, and when we get home, you're taking a shower, putting lotion on, putting deodorant on, you're not going to stink this house up. And if you raise boys, you can say amen to that. God, they don't want to take a shower. Jesus, help us at home. It takes effort. It takes a little bit of our ingenuity. It takes our physical brawn. We do our part, but folks, God does his. So notice the grace of God provides all that we need. And really, he's asking us, because it's amazing grace, he's asking us that we would see other people, we would see the outtake of our heart, we would see them not based on what they deserve, but based on what God has given us that we don't deserve. And that ties into how we see God, money, and church. How many have ever received grace and you didn't deserve it? I'll never forget one time I came home. It was a long day here at the church. I was frustrated. The boys were quite young. Kinlan wasn't born yet. And I was frustrated. I may even had a headache. I forget. But I remember coming home in from the garage. And I come into the house, and the first thing I hear is mad screaming. and someone got hurt, And I look at Summer. She's upset. And I say the dumbest thing a man could ever say. I look at her, and I say, how come every time I'm gone? Right there, I should have stopped. Because you're going downhill. It's not going to go up. It's going down. Got to help us men. We need Jesus. I said, why is it every time I'm gone, something goes wrong? Now, women can change their face to make you afraid. And she gave me a face that I thought she's going to kill me. She's going to cut me. She took her shoes off. She said, what did you say to me? I said, blah, 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 blah. I love you. You do amazing. And then she slapped me across the face. And I said, God forgive you. It's amazing I'm married today. She didn't hit me. She tripped me. But anyway, the God received grace. How many have received grace from someone? Okay, all he's wanting us to do is not be a cul-de-sac, but be a highway. I receive and I give. I receive and I give. This is love, grace, kindness, goodness, mercy, also finances. It's all areas of our life. Now, amazing grace, really, God wants to turn it into generous grace, as I've been saying. One of the verses of that famous hymn says, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Notice in verse 9 and 10, I'm not making this up, folks, this is what the Bible says. And if this is pushing buttons in you today, I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm not trying to step on your toes. But if I do, God will heal them. Hear me today. If this is triggering something in you, this is exactly why Jesus talked about this 42% of the time. Because he's trying to get us to the point that those buttons aren't pushed anymore. That there's something in our heart that is freed. And that you and I are loosed to worship God, man. That we're not getting tripped up by whatever topic, maybe this one, and we're free to move forward. So notice in verse 9 and 10, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Notice, their good deeds will be remembered forever, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Notice here that when you and I overcome this huge issue, particularly in this series, we do this about once a year because we want to help our heart be open to God in every way. Money. Church. God. You and I overcome and we let God move in us and breathe in us. And notice he says, when we do this, notice what the Bible says, your good deeds will be remembered forever. I know sometimes we're in here worshiping today. What a great job the band did. You're at home watching and you don't feel a thing. You don't feel any heebie-jeebies on you. You don't feel, it's not sensational. You help someone, you give tithes and offerings. You're serving God. You're trying to serve God. You're trying to overcome this. You're trying to do that. And you don't feel anything. I understand it, but listen to me. In the omniscience of God, everything we do in this passage, what we give will be remembered forever. Our acts give life to our faith. Our generosity makes a difference, folks. It makes a difference. Notice a few things. Generous grace. Again, I receive amazing grace. Then I turn that amazing grace. I just don't hoard it. It turns into generous grace. Not just about money, but I'm a generous person. Because God has been so good to me. But notice this, generous grace sees the need of other people. Generous grace hurdles the money issue of God, money, and church. Generous grace sees what needs to be done and takes action. Generous grace, because the Bible says here in verse 8 that the Lord will increase you financially and other ways so that you can share with others. So notice, generous grace sees increase of wherewithal as opportunities to be a part of a solution. Generous grace breaks fear. Generous grace empowers my attitude about people and about money. Generous grace empowers my heart to be open and my hand to be open. See, when I think of the context, when I think in the context of what God has given to me and what I haven't deserved, when I see it through that, then this whole thing becomes really plain and clear in my view. Because I realize at times I've had to get over the money hurdle. I've had to get over the disappointment hurdle. I've had to get over struggling financially. I've had to get over my business being lost. I've had to get over things. Man, trust me, we're all in this together. And when you and I, it's not easy, but when we do it, there's something powerful that happens. There's something that is set free on the inside. I'll never forget one time, talking about receiving grace from my wife, but giving grace to those who didn't deserve it. I used to volunteer for a great man of God who used to go in inner cities and reach people that no one would reach. He integrated meetings back in the 60s in the South, got constant death threats. Even people from his organization made fun of him for reaching out to people that were not white. I mean, during that time, he was berated, he was belittled. And later on, as God blessed him and raised him up in Chicago, Brooklyn, Newark, and Philadelphia, that same organization came back and said, "How are you doing this? Can we have your buildings?" And he graciously said, "Get out of here." And so I was honored to be with him in Camden, New Jersey, Harlem, New York, Bronx, New York. I was honored to be with him. Saw so many great things. And I'll never forget a man working. He's a little older than me. I was just out of Bible school, and he was over kind of the volunteers, and this guy was a straight-up jerk. I mean, he was a straight-up jerk. He belittled me. He looked down on me. He looked down at other people. And I wanted to revert back to my old ways and go ahead and just tell him how we did it in the BLG, West 7th Street, West Side. You don't know this. I was with him after that was over. Then I went with him, or not with him, but so happened we were together at a mutual meeting somewhere. I introduced my wife to him. He looks at me and says, "Who are you again?" Boy, I said, what is? And then that night, this is an example of this. That night, the minister had him come up and he was going to do a tent minute. He's going to have a tent and go on to the inner city in Connecticut, up in the Northeast. And they were taking up an offering. Now, I just got my tax return. I was living large, $1,000. I thought I was there. And I couldn't stand this guy. And man, they took up an offering for him to do his first crusade. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, give that. I said, "Lucifer, get behind me." Because he's Lucifer's cousin. I'm not giving no Lucifer family. I'm giving to God. And I'm a man of God, and God gave to me. I'm good. And to spare you of the details, I ended up giving it. And I didn't feel sensational. I didn't feel anything but anger, frustration at God. But it wasn't about that man. Please hear me. It wasn't about whether that guy deserved my offering to his tent ministry in the inner city of Connecticut, where he was from. It wasn't about that. The issue was, would I let God touch me? And remember, I received so much from God that I shouldn't even have been in that meeting in the first place. And so when I thought of, as God showed me this thought years ago, that, wait a minute, if God's been generous to me beyond what I deserved, that shapes my generosity for those that don't deserve it. So in closing, what do we do next? What do we do next? How do we take generous grace and make it applicable to our life? Here's just three quick thoughts, if you want to take some notes on this. Let God in your heart. I say that so often at City, but let God in your heart. It has to go from your head down to your heart. The reason why Jesus preached 42% of the messages on money was because the people had a block with it. And he was going for what he wanted most, not their money. He wanted their heart. Because when he captured their heart, he could do anything in their life. And I want to encourage you today to let God in your heart. Come on, lay down the grudges, lay down the unforgiveness, lay down the pride, lay down the distrust. We're not talking about church schemes. We're not talking about, you know, get rich quick schemes presented from the church. That's not correct. I'm talking about what does the Bible say? Lay distrust down, lay the hurdle down, lay it down, and let God have your heart. Let God in your heart. And I don't know how to define that for you other than the fact that you and I know when we shut our heart down to someone, or we know when we open it to someone. We know that. We can feel it. Our body responds to it. We physically do motions that would portray our hearts opened or our hearts closed. This is a huge one. Let God in your heart. Let God's word become true for you in every area of your life, including this one. A second one is wherever you're at in the idea of giving God. You're not giving Summer and I. Summer and I aren't giving to City Church per se. We give our tithes and offerings. We do it on the app. And we give to the building plan. But we're giving to God. It's not for me. This is between you and the Lord. I mean, you don't owe me to be here. This is amazing. To see you here today, I'm amazed. I'm so glad you're here. I'm overwhelmed. It's so good to see that. The dream team shows up, and no one owes me anything. It's not about me. It's about you and the Lord. Thank you. You don't owe me tithes and offerings. That's wrong. This is about us and God. So everything we do is to the Lord. So wherever you're at on the giving issue, I want to encourage you to take a next step and begin to give tithes and offerings, or even give just a smaller percentage and see what God will do. Because the Bible says in Malachi 3, He said, prove me in this and see if I will not open windows and see if I'll not do it. So our part is to do what He asked us to do. Then His part is to do what only He can do. And when we do that, we see God do something profound. Folks, come on. Let Him have our heart, of course, in forgiving others. Let Him have our heart in letting go of the past. These are bigger issues for some of us. I understand forgiving other people, letting go, all that. Come on, I get it. But let's let God in our heart in this area too. Let's let God have us. I want to encourage you to let God in your heart. I want to encourage you to give Him tithes and offerings. Take a next step. I want to encourage you. The third thing is serve your family, serve your church, and serve your city. Be a generous person. Not what someone can give to you, but what can you give to others? A great president said that. Think about what we can do in our lifetime for others instead of trying to get all the time. What can we give all the time? Thank you for the great response of shout and just amen. And preach it, preacher. And say it, preacher. That's good. That's all right. It's challenging, isn't it? I want to encourage you, let God in your heart, give Him what He asked you to give, and decide to be a servant, decide to live generous. Now, I want to encourage you on something. If you want help, you know, Summer and I, we're working a plan financially. We're doing Dave Ramsey plan. And I believe that the Bible teaches us on living within our means and having a plan financially. And as I said last weekend, God, He wants to bless our lives. Just seek first the kingdom. Seek first God, and then let everything else fall under that. And we're not perfect, but we're doing our best in this. And I want to encourage you, if you want support in money literacy, if you want support in just what the Bible says about budget, because the Bible talks about that, the Bible talks about all this, we have groups set up in the fall. Check this out. We're going to have three layers of financial groups. We're going to have financial groups for kids. Isn't that awesome? You best believe my kids are going to be there. They're going to learn about money. They're going to give tithes and offerings. Then we're going to have financial groups for those in their 20s or 30s, out of college, in college, maybe getting married or starting their career. We want to help them move forward and help them have financial strategies to really have success, because the number one cause for divorce in America is money. And then the third layer is we have financial groups for couples of all, that are older than 20s and 30s. We want to serve you and help you. We want to give you practical tools to move forward in your faith and let the generous grace of God come into you. So I want to encourage you today, When you think of other people, think of the grace of God for you. When you think of life and all the things that come at you, think of the generosity and the goodness of God. And as we have received so much, then turn around and do your best to give to others, because God is in that posture, and he will bless you and he will prove himself to you. He is a gracious God. He is a good God. He has saved us for a purpose. Come on, give him a great praise today. I believe in Jesus. I believe in this Jesus. I believe in him. Man, please stand to your feet. You online, thank you so much for watching today. Let us know you received Christ, that you need prayer. Please bow your heart and bow your head to heaven in this moment of faith. Some would say, you know, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. I've never received Christ. I'm looking for God. I don't know who he is. I'm reaching for God. I know I need him. Today is your day to receive Jesus. You would say, maybe I have received God, but I'm far from him, and I want to return to him today. If that's you, this is your moment as well. So as heads are bowed and hearts are bowed, you would say, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my lifetime, and or I have, but I'm far from God, and I want to come back to God today. I want to return to him. If that's you right now in this place, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you. God bless you. Good, good, good. A lot of people. Come on, I love it. People coming to God today. Good. I see you in the back. I see it. Thank you so much for that. You can lower your hands. And then how many would say, Pastor Dave, you know, the idea of generous grace, maybe today what struck you is maybe forgiving someone, loving someone, seeing someone through the generous grace of God. Maybe it's financial, letting go of maybe a tight or stinginess. I don't know what it is, but you would say, you know, I want God to help me. I want God to help me in the generous grace, be a generous person to the best that I can in my life. If that's you today and you want support in this, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you all over this room. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Follow me in this prayer so no one's left out. And please say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I give you my heart. I give you my all. I'm yours. Through the Holy Spirit, open my heart in generous grace. I receive everything you've given to me, and I'm thankful. Help me do my best to give back. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him one more hand clap of praise this afternoon. I believe God's going to do it.